being close, so close to something that you've been trying to do, an accomplishment that you've been trying to make, and you get so close to it, and sometimes you don't make it. There are actually some things in life that being close is a good thing. For example, in the game we play called horseshoes, I know practically everybody in here has probably played that game at one time or the other. Of course, the object in the game of horseshoes is to get a ringer. And that's when you throw a horseshoe and it rings around that stall. Now, the next best thing, if you can't get a ringer, you want to get a leaner, where the horseshoe will lean up against the post, and that's worth points. It's not as many points as a ringer, but it will get you points. But sometimes you can't get a ringer, can you? And sometimes that horseshoe will not lean up against the post. So the next best thing is to get just as close as you possibly can. And most people actually win the game of horseshoes with getting their horseshoe to be close to the post. So in this sense, getting close is good enough. Now, there are other things in life, games included, that being close is not good enough. For example, in the year 2000, the Super Bowl was played between the Tennessee Titans and the St. Louis Rams. Now, the Tennessee Titans, I'm a big Tennessee Titan fan and have been since 1998 when they came to play in Nashville. And having and only living an hour and a half from the Titan Stadium, they're the home team. They were the home team for us in North Alabama. 2 years after they came to Nashville, they actually got to play in the Super Bowl. Young team, new team, and already going to the Super Bowl. And we were so excited that the Tennessee Titans was going to the Super Bowl to play the St. Louis Rams. It was a very close game, in fact. It actually came down to the last play of the ball game. The Titans had the ball. The quarterback threw under tremendous pressure, and the ball was thrown to the receiver, who was on the 4-yard line. The receiver caught the ball and was hit instantly. He stretched as far as he possibly could to reach the goal line, but he came up a few inches short. The clock ran out. The horn blew. The game was over. They came so close to winning the Super Bowl, but they were not close enough. No world champion. No Super Bowl ring, no trophy. All the Titan fans, me included, was absolutely devastated. I want to suggest to you, my friends, that there are a lot of things in life that we try to do. And we may come really close to achieving the goal. But yet and still, we sometimes wind up short. You know, we find ourselves in the same place as the Tennessee Titans were on that day. Being close would not be good enough. And I want to suggest to you also, my friends, that from a spiritual standpoint, many people find themselves close to God. But when all is said and done, they are not close enough. So tonight, I would like for us to take a look at some individuals in the Bible that came so close to doing what God asked him to do and yet not be close enough. The first example is that of the rich young ruler. Now, we read about the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 16 and continuing through verse 22. And I'd like for us to read his story. Now behold, one came to him and said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, thou shalt not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, well, all of these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, when you think about this young man, just look at the opportunity that he had a chance to achieve. He had an opportunity to follow the Son of God. He had an opportunity to live for God and eventually to live with God. But instead, he chose to use his years in following after material things. And the saddest part about this story is he came to Jesus asking him, what can I do? I want eternal life. How can I achieve that? He had kept all of the Old Testament commandments, Moses' law in his life. And he had a desire to be obedient, but when Jesus told him what he needed, he was unwilling to take that last step. He was so close, yet he was so far away. The next example that I want to talk about are the five foolish virgins. The story of the 10 virgins was a parable that was taught by Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in to him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You know, these five girls, they could have gone in to that wedding with the other five if they had only been prepared. Have you ever found yourself just enough unprepared that you could not achieve that goal that you had set for yourself? Now, these girls were not discriminated in any way. They knew the bridegroom was coming, and they knew that they needed to be prepared. But for some reason or the other, they did not stay ready. There may be some here tonight who are in the very same situation as these five young ladies. You know that Jesus is coming back. You know that Judgment Day is coming. And you know what to do. But for some reason, you're not doing it. It may be that you know that you need to obey the gospel of Christ. You've heard the word. You know that it's true. You may have even made some changes in your life to follow the Lord. And you know that Jesus is God's Son. But for some reason, you've never been baptized into Christ. It's sad to know that you're almost there, but just not quite there. It may be that for some reason, as a Christian, you're not living as you should. You know that you are not ready for the Lord to come. You know, the sad thing to learn is that the door was shut on these five girls. And here's the message. The door could very well be shut on you as well. It may be an illness. It may be an accident. And you may leave this world unprepared. Remember, Jesus is coming again. He will not base His coming on whether or not you are prepared. Many intend to obey the gospel. Many intend to live faithful Christian lives. But for some reason or the other, that day never comes. These five virgins were close, but they were not close enough. And sometimes I have to wonder, are we standing in their shoes? Final example is found in Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 24. It is as Paul stands before King Agrippa. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention. Since this thing was not done in a corner, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." You know, it's interesting to note about King Agrippa. He actually believed the things that Paul had told him. He had seen all that had been happening with Christianity. And he realized, no doubt, the power and the prominence of Christianity, even within the Roman society. And as Scripture says, he was almost there. He was almost ready to become a Christian. The sad thing is, he did not. And as far as we know, the opportunity for him never came again, for him to obey the gospel. You know, again, we look at this story in the life of this man, and we know that there could be someone here tonight who is on the verge of making that decision and giving his life to the Lord. Now, if that's true, let me tell you that the devil will do everything he can to convince you to wait, just like he did King Agrippa. You know, these people in our lesson tonight, they were all so close to achieving what they wanted to achieve. They was almost there. I ask you tonight, in closing this lesson, where are you? How close are you to obeying the gospel if you have not obeyed the gospel? I have to tell you, my friends, you're in the same shoes as King Agrippa and as that rich young ruler. If you're almost there, you are not there. You need to obey the Lord tonight. If you're not a Christian, you need to come in obedience to His will tonight. If you're an erring child of God, you need to come back to the Lord tonight. Thinking about it is not enough. Being close is not going to work. It's not like a game of horseshoes. So you need to obey Him tonight or come back to Him tonight. We want to give you that opportunity now to come while we stand to sing this song.